The name of this is What Causes Doubt and How to Remove It. Anybody ever had any doubts? Right, Lonnie. You know, and I got to thinking about that. I've never heard a message on it. I've never heard of what causes doubt. But there's a reason for doubt, and we're going to get into that this morning. As soon as they get them passed out, we'll go ahead and have prayer. But the song service went along very well, and being as they did not know what I was going to teach on, but it went along very well with what is the Lord has given me. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for a beautiful day. I thank you, Lord, for a time we can gather together because we love you and we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And because the Word of God said to gather together, even the more so as that day approaches. And we know we're getting very close to that day. And so, Father, we're here and we ask the Holy Spirit to speak to each one of our hearts, to be open to the living Word of God and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to each one of us as individuals. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What causes doubt and how to remove it? First scripture is Mark 11:23. It says, "For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now, the word assuredly there means verily, verily, or assuredly. It also is the word for amen. So be it. Jesus is very, very strongly saying something in this verse, and we need to hear it. It's the same as a binding promise. How many have read the promises of God in the Bible? If you haven't, why? Hell, I'm not going there. If you're hungry, you will read your word. But anyhow, assuredly, saying amen. This is so. This is absolute. Whoever says, the word says there means speaks. Whoever speaks to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt. Now, right below that, it's the word doubt there. It's the Greek diakrino. Two Greek words. One's dia, which means separation. And the other is krino. It means to distinguish, decide, and judge. To separate throughout completely. Particularly to separate oneself from. So, if there's a doubt in your mind about the Word of God, you are to judge that and separate yourself from it. Judge your own thinking. How many have had your thinking process get you in trouble? And every time that happens, you begin to realize you have nobody to blame but yourself. You can't do what Adam did. Lord, it's that woman you gave me. You can't do that. Adam and Eve didn't cause your doubt. You got to find out, why am I doubting? What's causing me to doubt a promise of God? When the word doubt itself means that needs to be a separation in your thinking process of what you're thinking at that given time. See, what happened is, and we're going to get into it in a minute there, but what happened is when Satan came to Eve, he caused her to doubt. He planted a seed. Well, your physical brain, your natural side of you, because it wants to have its way, is going to plant doubts in your mind. It's going to try and get your spiritual mind to doubt the Word of God. Now, the devil comes immediately, according to Mark 4, the devil comes immediately when you're hearing the Word of God or you're reading the Word of God or you're believing God for something. The devil comes immediately to take the Word of God, because the Word of God is the power of God. There isn't anything made that God made that didn't get made by Him speaking it into existence. You're part of that. So, the next sentence there, what you are thinking is what causes doubt. You want to know where it comes from? There it is. What you are thinking is what causes doubt. It is the mountain that you need to judge and separate yourself from. I think every one of us, because of pastor's teaching and the blessings we get here in the teaching ministry, everyone understands that you have two minds. You have a mind in the natural part of you, and you have a mind in the spiritual part of you. The reason we didn't know that before, because before you got saved, your spiritual mind was a part of your natural mind, and you didn't know the difference. But when you got born again, Jesus came in there and He separated that thinking apart again like it was in Adam before he sinned. Jesus separated that, and now you have a thinking, not a spiritual mind, that you can feed and you can use to control your natural thinking. How many know and realize you have the ability to say no to yourself? Tell your natural mind to shut up. You know, try not to be around in too large of a crowd when you're doing that, because they may not understand where you're coming from. But doubt comes from our own thinking process. Your spiritual mind accepts the Word of God for what it is and believes it. But your natural mind does not. And Satan has access to your natural mind, and he can drop thoughts in there. The enemy can, he hates you because you're made by God, and you can get close to God, and he don't want that. He wants your praise and worship and love. Satan wants it. You know where he'll reward you with all of the stuff you give him and give yourself to Satan? You know how he'll reward you? He'll take you to hell with him and laugh. He's a jerk. There's two different kinds of doubt here. We're going to go into it. Doubt is a mental state in which the mind remains suspended between two or more contradictory propositions, unable to assent to either of them, to call into question the truth of. Now, on the back side of your page, we have Genesis 3, 1 through 5. And this is dealing with that kind of doubt. He says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said?'" He planted the seed of doubt in her mind. He says, "You shall not eat. Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Now notice how I read that and the emphasis that he put on "has God said." He wanted her to begin to question what God said. And he's still doing the same thing today to you and me. He wants you to question God's word. When God's word says, "By his stripes I am healed," he wants you to question that. And if he can get your natural mind doubting the word of God, then he's got you in his court, so to speak. Has God said? you shall not eat of every good. Verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. I want to point out something here. Eve continued the conversation. Now, men and women both do that. We all do it. But she continued the conversation. And we're going to get into Scripture later where we'll read it. But what did Jesus do when Satan tempted him with the same three things that he tempted Adam and Eve with? How did Jesus answer? It is written. He shut off the conversation. And you got to shut your natural mind off. The second them doubts start coming in, you shut them doubts off. Don't continue the conversation. Where's the conversation going? It's all going on right up here. You got a spiritual mind and a natural mind, and they're arguing. And your spiritual mind says, no, you shut up. God's word says this, and that's what I believe. Now, you're done. That's how you need to talk to yourself. Now notice he said, the verse we read to start there in Mark 11:23, he says, you say, speak to the mountain. Now can you begin to see why your thinking process in your natural brain is the mountain? That's what you have to talk to. Talk to yourself. It's your spirit man talking to your flesh man. Saying, shut up. Stop thinking that way. I'm not going there. You've got to counteract the doubts that either are coming in from what somebody's saying, what you're thinking, or what the devil is trying to get you to think. We've got to counteract that with the Word of God. It's the only thing that'll shut him up. You see the difference in what Jesus said and what Eve said? She continued the conversation. Verse 3. Oh, let's read verse 2 again. We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. See how she's continuing the conversation? He's leading her. He had planted the seed of doubt in her mind, and now that she continued the conversation, now it's becoming a conversation and a way of thinking. There's Pastor taught on this some years back on the mind. There was four steps. It begins with an anoia, and that is what started the beginning of something. Then there's the next step is dianoia. That's thinking through the activity of thinking that brings maturity to that style and kind of conversation. She was continuing and causing that seed to grow in her thinking process to where she began to believe and look at what he was saying. Did Jesus do that? No. You see, it is written. How, you know, have you ever wondered? Maybe you haven't, probably. I have anyhow. I used to wonder, well, what the devil quoted the Word of God and Jesus quoted the Word of God. Why did it work for Jesus and it didn't for the devil? Because the devil's a liar. The devil can quote the Word of God to you, and because it's the Word of God, you think it's true. Well, the Word of God is true, but the way he uses it is a lie. In your mind, in your spiritual mind, you have to recognize that and shut it down, because now using your physical thinking to defeat you. In a sense, he's not the one defeating you. It's your own mind that's defeating you. You see why that word doubt means diakrino? In other words, you've got to judge that thinking and stop it. You can't judge how somebody else thinks. That's not your problem. You judge your own thinking. It's your own thinking that gets you into trouble, not somebody else's. But then there's four steps. The third step is phronema, the act of understanding the mind's will. In other words, you're continuing the conversation as she did, and then it goes into the fourth step, which is Noema, and that's where you make a decision to act on that conversation. And that was the devil's plan to start with, is to get her, plant the seed, get her to talking about it, get her thinking process going on that, and then at the end, she decided to act on what he said rather than acting on what Jesus said. Because God had spoke to Adam and he told him what not to do. I don't know whether Adam didn't tell his wife all of the information or not. But the thing of it is, Adam was standing right there next to her. And after she ate, she gave it to him and he took it. Why didn't he stop the conversation? Okay. Verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." He had taken that conversation, he planted the seed, and then he got her to where he could tell a bold, out-face, right lie, and she accepted it. "You will not surely die," and she accepted that thought process. And that's what the devil wants to get you to thinking and doubting what God said. And then he got her to do that. Then in verse 5, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened." Yeah, God knows that. But see, the way the devil repeated or said it, it turned it into a lie. See, the devil was coming at her saying, "Hey, you're not immediately going to die." But did she die? Yeah. I don't know, the Bible don't tell how long she lived. It does tell us that Adam lived 930 years. That's a long conversation. Letting yourself live in that conversation, it can be reversed. You can reverse that conversation. You can shut it out and take the word of God and say, "It is written," and you speak it out. You got to speak it. He who says to the mountain, you speak to the mountain, you speak to your own thinking. That's why I like 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Well, when I'm thinking negative, I don't have a sound mind. Pardon? That's right. It's my own mind. And I can talk to it. Amen. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Don't own it. Don't own it. Adam and Eve begin to own what the devil said. And that's how the sin nature got into the natural and into the flesh. And they had now to pay for it the rest of their lives. And if you allow your natural thinking to continue in the negative, you will pay for what you think. By their fruit, you shall know them. You could also add that in there, by their victories or lack thereof, you'll know them. Well, how do I want, you know, I was doing a funeral yesterday in Yelm, some people I've known for many years. And this person, of course, passed away, and I'm trying to get them to understand it, these same ideas without preaching at them. You know, a funeral is not a place to try and perform and get everybody saved. You walk in love, and you try and be there to help them and change their thinking with the love of God, but. You know, what she had said and done in her life was all over. What you're saying and doing in your life is testifying about what kind of funeral you're going to have, what's going to be talked about at your funeral, the kind of person you was. And if you've ever preached a funeral for a street person that was a prostitute that you know wasn't saved, I'm telling you, that's the hardest thing I ever did. I had to do that one time, and I hate it. Because you can't give them life. I gave them the Word of God, but their thinking process and the way they lived was controlling their thinking. How you live and what you want in life is controlling your thinking right now. That's why we need to have the Word of God in us in a daily food, just like eating physically. You need to eat spiritually daily so that your thinking process is being fed the truth and it can control the natural inclinations. God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be open. Yeah, that's true. But the way He said it was to get her to do what was wrong. See, how many know that God cannot tempt you with evil? It's an impossibility. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. There's nothing in Him that would cause you to sin. He don't put diseases and stuff like that on you. They're not in Him. How can He give you something He don't have? All sin, sickness, death, sorrow, all of that stuff came from the devil. Period. And we need to let our natural mind know that. If you think God gave it, then you don't have the right to pray to get healed. If your thinking process about who God is wrong, then you don't have the authority to ask for healing because your mind will push so much doubt in it, you'll never get it. You got to realize who God is. He's love, period. He can't do anything wrong. It ain't in Him. You know, man's thinking today is they're trying, you know, well, God is what we think He is. Well, He's not. He's who He says He is. And you and I can become just like Him by saying the Word of God in our lives and become like Him in every area. You can cancel doubt in your mind anytime you want to. But you got to take the Word of God to do it. Don't reason with yourself. You know, Pastor's been talking lately about reasonings. Don't reason with yourself. Did Jesus reason with the devil? He says, it's written. Shut up, boy. Get out of here. I like that. He gave me a way of doing it. In the next word on doubt on the front page there, he gets into an emotional level. On an emotional level is indecision between belief and disbelief. It may involve uncertainty, distrust, or lack of conviction on certain facts, actions, motives, or decisions. Doubt can result in delaying or rejecting relevant action out of concern for mistakes or missed opportunities. This is an area that you need to learn to forgive yourself. How many have thought wrong thoughts? If I had only done this, or if that. You got to get away from that because that is carrying the conversation of doubt in your natural mind, and your spiritual mind has no way of counteracting it because you're not using the Word of God to counteract what you're thinking. So in the back page again, Genesis 3, verse 6 and 7. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, see, she continued the conversation. She looked at it from the point of view of what it will do for her naturally. The woman saw the tree was good for food. That deals with the lust of the flesh. That it was pleasant to the eyes. That deals with the lust of the eyes. A tree desirable to make one wise, which is the pride of life. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. He let himself become a part of that conversation, and it took him into doubt, and he made the wrong decision the same as she did. Now, I'm just going to read this because it's not on your notes there. In 1 John 2:16, And I'm reading it out of the Amplified. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that's craving for sensual gratification, the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, that's assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things. These do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself. That's a good explanation of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Everything that has to do with is from the flesh. And that's where you have to fight it with the Spirit of God, your born-again spirit. That's how you fight and get rid of doubt. Doubt is a product of the world situation and the world that we live in. But we have the Word of God. You have something the world don't have. They can't really get rid of doubt because they don't have the answer to it. You and I have the answer to doubt. It's the promises of God. You notice all the promises of God are past tense? In other words, God's just provided them and they're waiting for you to use them. You don't have to make up the promises of God. God's already made them up. God's already gave His word and say, this works. Then He came down here and lived among us in the body of Jesus Christ, and He proved that it worked. It is written. He told us how to get rid of doubt. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she looked at the problem and she wanted it. How many of you have looked at things that, like a new car or a new house or certain clothes or certain things, we've looked at them, and the longer you look at them, the greater the want gets. Anybody have that problem besides me? And that's not all wrong. Don't get me. I'm not trying to put a absolute on things. Because each one of us think differently, and we will approach the answer differently, and we will do it the way that we find out works for us. So we can't judge each other's thoughts, but I can judge mine. Because I'm the only one I got to answer for. I don't answer for you. When I get up before Jesus, you're not going to be a part of the conversation. It's just Him and me. What did I do with what He said? How did I use it? See, when I was a lot younger, I was in my teens and 20s, I read the Word of God. That's when I started 4 chapters a day, and I'd read clear through the Bible in 10 and a half months and start over and just keep reading it. So I knew the Word of God, but I didn't have the character built into me or the maturity built into me. So I would take that Word of God and I'd judge people with it. And every time I did that, my spirit would go off the Richter scale. I mean, he quit that. But I didn't understand that voice that well when I was that young. I had to grow into it to where when my spirit started going off the Richter scale, stop what I'm saying and find out what does God say from love. God loves you, for God so loved the world that He gave. I got to understand who He is before I can repeat what needs to be said. And God broke me of that. Took Him a few years. How many are even here near you? Come on now, admit, are you stubborn? Come on, every hand in here should be up. You know, God has to get to you to get past you. He's got to get past your thinking, your natural thinking process, because your spirit is open to God. Your spirit is hungry and wants to do the Word of God. Your spirit wants, I don't care how you feel, your spirit wants to do the Word of God. But you've got to get it matured. You've got to feed it and feed it and feed it and feed it until it gets strong enough till it can shut your natural thinking down. Because your spiritual doubts don't come through your spiritual mind. It comes in the natural mind, and the spiritual mind has to deal with it. And if you don't know enough spiritually, you can't deal with it. That's when you go to somebody that is more mature than you are and ask them, how do I do this? That was one of the good things I did when I was young. I would go to my elders and ask them. I'd talk with them. Hey, you've been down the road farther than I am. How did you handle this? How do I do this? I learned a lot. I saved myself a lot of problems. Now, see, I could have had a lot more problems than I did. I had enough as it was, but I could have had a lot more. Why? Because I wasn't afraid to go ask and say, how did you do this? Because they'd been there. And the thing I looked for in a mentor was they victorious where they were at when I was talking with them. I want a mentor that I see living what the Word of God says, that learned how to endure and get through that. See, endurance is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. And as Sharon in Sunday school class this morning, it comes to you through the character and the type in who God is. It comes to you in seed form. When you got born again, the character and the love and the peace and the strength of God came into your born again spirit, but you have to feed it to grow up. Just like you had to grow up spiritually when you got born again. Just like you had to grow up physically when you got born into this world. You didn't got born into this world and went to college the next day. Ah, shut up, John. My mind just loves to run on rabbit trails when you get there. Oh, my. Let me see, I better find out where I was at. Okay, stay on the back side there of your... In Genesis 3:7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They noticed that they were naked. They had learned something that was not good. Now just jump to Matthew 4 because we need to see that Jesus was tempted the same way that Adam and Eve was. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. Notice it didn't say be tempted there by the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit don't tempt you. But Jesus had to pass a test. You have to pass a test. It's just part of life. How many went to school and got an A on everything? You're unusual if you did. I know there's some smart ones. Trouble is, I found out them same people go through tests. Right? Then Jesus, led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. And for 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. I wonder why. 40 days? What happens in your mind during a 40-day fast? I can't answer that because I've never went on one. I got enough trouble with it the way it is. But during that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God. See what he did with the first word out of his mouth? He tried to plant the seed of doubt. If. Tell these stones to become loaves of bread. That's dealing with the lust of the flesh. He starts right out the same three that he gave Adam and Eve. But Jesus told him, no, The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. He did not continue the conversation. He gave us a pattern. When those doubts come into your mind, give them the word of God. And it's better if you speak it out loud. Because your ears need to hear, your mind needs to hear. And when you say something, it's your own word coming out that you are obligated now to keep your word. Verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. Again, for the lust of the eyes. If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scripture says, he will order his angels to protect you. And they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Notice, he's quoting the word of God. But there's no life in it because there's no spiritual life in Satan. He is darkness. There's no light in him. If you are the Son of God, jump off. Well, how did Jesus respond? The scripture also says you must not tempt or test the Lord your God. If Jesus said it, you and I can say it. You have in your Bible, you have all of the bullets you need to defeat the enemy. Use them. Kill him. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Now he's tried to get his pride going. He says, I will give it all to you. Well, how could he say that? Because Adam gave it to him back in the Garden of Eden. And he says, if you kneel down and worship me, wow. Has he said that to you? He may be a little more subtle at it, but he's said it. Because he'll use the same three that he used on Adam and Eve and Jesus. He'll use them on you. And you've got to answer. He says, I'll give it to you if you kneel down and worship me. And then Jesus says, get out of here, Satan. A good answer. For the scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. He didn't say that the devil was doing that or could do that. He just said the word of God says, you must worship the Lord your God. That's for us. Because Satan's not capable of serving God anymore. He's nothing but darkness. He had his chance, and he gave it up. So he wants to come and take you out so that you won't get a chance to serve the Lord and have life and have it more abundantly. See, he's going to live eternally in hell. He's going to live eternally, but he'll never have any light. He'll never have anything good. He'll never have what Jesus paid the price so you and I can have. He sealed his own fate by what he said. You and I seal our fate by what we say. I don't think we really realize sometimes how important our mouth is. If you speak doubt, what are you going to get? Doubt. If you speak truth, what are you going to get? Truth. Simple, isn't it? Gosh, is God that simple? He is. Praise the Lord. Well, see, we was singing this morning about the things of God. You were saying with your mouth the good things about God. That's really what a good song service is about, is you talking and building yourself up on your faith and in your walk with God. You just keep singing and saying those things. Why do you think God gave us music? God is music. And he just shares it with you because we're sons and daughters of God. So what he is, we become. I like that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Back on the front part of your page, out in the middle there, it says, if you have doubts or doubts about something, if you have doubt or doubts about something, you feel uncertain about it and do not know whether it is true or possible. If you say you have no doubt about it, you mean that you are certain it is true. If you doubt someone or doubt their word, you think that they may not be telling the truth. And we live in a very doubt-filled world. But that doesn't mean you have to have doubt running your life. Feed yourself spiritually every day so that you can kill the doubt that comes from what you see and feel and the things like that. Feed yourself spiritually daily. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. In that verse, he's also saying that you can't go by what you feel. You have to go by what you believe. You feed yourself on the Word of God until you have convinced yourself that that's the truth, and you fight your doubts. You feed your faith and fight your doubts. Your natural mind can be full of doubt, and your spirit can be full of faith, and your faith can work even though your flesh doubts it. How many have noticed there's a battle up here? Day and night, constantly, your flesh is looking at the natural side and see where things aren't working the way you think they're supposed to be working. But your faith says, hey, the Word of God says this, and that's where I stand, and I'll shut the rest down. And you can do that, but you got to keep feeding your faith to do that. Have you ever noticed in conversations that you've had with people that sometimes they're talking about doubt, and if you agree with them, you can feel the doubt begin to grow inside of you? You have to fight the doubt with faith. You notice the difference between Eve, how she answered Satan, and Jesus, how he answered Satan? She followed the doubt side, and Jesus says, oh no, it's written. This is what the Word of God says. This is what the truth is. And it shut Satan down. It also shut the mind down. Because when you say, you get a hold of something and you believe it's the truth, it will now sustain you and keep you on the right path. But if you start thinking about your doubts and you talk about your doubts, they multiply. And it keeps getting stronger. You've got to fight your doubts. I suppose I could put it this way. You got, in a sense, you got two brains. You got a spiritual brain, and you got a natural brain. Which one are you feeding the most? See, they were one until you got born again. When you got born again, God separated your thinking process for spiritual and natural. What brought them together? If you go back and read Genesis again, they came together when Eve listened to what the devil said. She brought her spiritual mind under the control of her natural mind. And in Christ, your spiritual mind is to be stronger than your natural thinking. Which one do you feed the most? I'll leave that alone. Because everything depends on how you think spiritually. How much do you feed yourself spiritually? How much do you feed yourself in the natural? Verse here in 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. He just gave you the recipe on how to handle your mind. The weapons of a warfare are not carnal, not the natural thinking, but they're mighty in God pulling down strongholds. You do that with your spirit by casting down the arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You do that with what you say. Listen to yourself. What? How are you carrying on a conversation with yourself? You know, they try and make you think you're crazy if you talk to yourself. But it's probably one of the safest things you can do. Use that spiritual mind to control the natural thinking. How many know your natural mind by itself is like a little child that can get lost? Don't care how old you are. Your natural mind is like a child that can get lost. But you're spiritually, read the Word of God, feed on the Word of God, say what it says. Amen. Amen. And we have run out of time, so praise the Lord. What causes doubt and how is it removed is what we've been talking about this morning. And hopefully everyone in here is alive spiritually, which means you've been born again. And if you're born again, you have a spiritual mind. And if you're spiritually minded, then you've been feeding that spiritual mind. You can always win. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen? But it's what you and I make it. Which one do we give in to? Let's stand. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Father, we thank you for your anointing, for your word, for speaking to our hearts this morning. And Father, we want a very, very strong spirit. And we want the flesh man to be subject to our spirit man. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here that wants to accept Christ as your personal Savior? Then now is the time to do it. So you can feed that spirit man. The Word of God is the food. And you get stronger every day when you read it. Hallelujah. So if you're not born again, ask that you please come forward. And there are people here that will go with you and help you make that transition. If anyone wants prayer, then you can also come forward. Those who are getting born again, stay on my right or my left side. And if you want other prayer, then come over to the right side. As we close this service, the Holy Spirit's talking to you. Give him a chance to give you what you need and meet that need. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come on up over again to the left side of my left side, your right. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, oh my, don't leave the house without it. It's so good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to go ahead and dismiss. If you still want to come up, you're welcome to. Okay. Father, thank you for these precious people. Thank you for being here with us today for the anointing of the Holy Spirit and hearing what the Word of God has to say for encouragement and strength today. Just pray you bless them now as they go home and they have a good day in you and be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.